This episode is brought to you by LashBoss Summit. LashBoss Summit is 2 full days of education in Austin, Texas on April 26th and 27th. The lineup is incredible. There are so many talented and genuine people on stage, so you're going to walk away with a ton of lash artistry and business strategy after that weekend. Not only that, there is built-in networking opportunities so that you can make new friends and connections while you're here. Your ticket also includes breakfast and lunch on both days, and all of this could be under $500 if you use code LASHBOSSRADIO. LashBoss Summit is regarded as being incredibly impactful but not overwhelming in the sense of it was designed to reduce anxiety and just be very warm and welcoming and just deliver a ton of value. The lineup, agenda, and tickets can all be found on lashbosssummit.com. I'd really like to see you there. I promise you it will be more than worth it. Enjoy this episode, and I hope to see you in April. Hey everyone, welcome back to Lash Boss Radio. I'm Shelby, your host, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, Lindsay of Boho Lash out in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're going to be talking about leadership, salon ownership, and lots of other things. So welcome to the show, Lindsay.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah, of course. Just to get started, I kind of always just like to start with someone's timeline in the industry and just how... You can give it a Cliff Notes version if you want, but just how did you get to where you are now from the beginning?
Okay. So I've been in the beauty industry for about 14 years. The more people I've met, I feel like a lot of us have similar paths, starting with makeup or maybe hair. So my start was actually a freelance makeup artist. So I worked a lot with photographers. I did photo shoots. I did a lot of bridal makeup. And it was fun for the season, but I was transitioning to... kind of doing that part-time to going through a divorce. So I wanted something a little more permanent and stable. As we all know, wedding season's pretty short and a lot of weekends. So I went back and got my aesthetic license and kind of thought I would offer skincare, honestly, at first, but I fell in love with lash and brow services. So I started just doing those services. I remember a few people telling me at the beginning, you won't be able to make a steady clientele just offering such small, limited service menu. But I loved it. I had confidence I could do it. And I quit doing makeup altogether, which was also a shock to a lot of people. But I enjoy it. I enjoy doing the lash and brows since then. So that was about 7 years ago now. I've been doing lash and brow services only. I have been a trainer for LA Bonna for 3 of those years. I was their Oklahoma trainer. And I really fell in love with lash lifting at that point. And since then, I've transitioned to offering my own classes. I opened my studio about 3 years ago, have a team of girls that do the same sort of services I do as well. And I just try to engross myself in everything lash related at this point, because I feel like there's a huge need still in our market, especially in Oklahoma, for a lot of education and just the knowledge of new tips and tricks for things that kind of are myths or, you know, Paul and Tess talk about all the time, things that once were that are no longer, and Oklahoma for sure needs the update. So I pour myself a lot into the education side here, even locally with our lash artists.
That's amazing. What would you say has been like the hardest part of your journey so far?
The hardest part, honestly, is owning a salon, just having to deal with the different personality types of having a team. And really having a heart to want to make sure that they are succeeding as a lash artist. Obviously make money, but again, the education side, I pour into my team. So it's a lot of ups and downs and trying to learn their personality types and even just better myself as a leader. I tell my team all the time, I am not the best manager. I won't be the best boss you will ever have in your lifetime, but I will give you 100% of myself and all my knowledge I want to pass to you and truly... just make sure that you guys are succeeding to the best ability that you can. So I would say that owning a salon is probably the most difficult portion of where I'm at currently.
Yeah, I can say the same. Like it's very hard to get a salon off the ground, and it takes much longer than you would expect for everything to finally find a groove and like the systems to be working in it, sort of to feel like, oh, okay. This is worth it. And I think a big part of that journey for a salon owner has a lot to do with leadership and if they're willing to like do any personal development if needed on that aspect. Can you share some of the advice you have for someone who is looking to own a salon or has already started one in terms of any leadership skills or advice that has helped you lead your team?
Probably the biggest thing is don't be afraid to ask for help. That's something I still have to tell myself every day as business leader, especially as a female business leader. I feel like we want to do everything ourselves, kind of prove ourselves to the world, and maybe have a thought process we don't need other people's help because we want to like do it on our own. But there is a lot to be said to walk, you know, go up to somebody who has been in your shoes maybe 10 plus years and they've been where you've been and just be completely honest and transparent that you do need help. Or if you have a certain area that you're really focusing on, even personally, just within growing your own leadership skills, don't be afraid to go ask somebody who's been in that position that you have. For example, there's a local hair salon that she's got two locations. She's been doing this for, I forget what she said, almost 20 years now. And I reached out to her and just asked if she could sit down with me sometime, take an hour for day, and just really kind of tell me her processes and how she developed herself as a leader. Because in our community, she really is looked up to as a great salon owner. And she was more than kind to meet with me and let me take notes, pick her brain on all the things. But if I hadn't asked and kind of put myself out there to ask and put myself in a vulnerable spot, showing that I don't know everything, I want to have either felt the validation that, yes, I'm doing a lot of the things I maybe have questioned or just need that validation, and then pick up some new things. She honestly recommended a lot of great podcasts and business books that some had aligned with what I've heard in our industry, a lot of recommendation, but there's some new ones that I hadn't quite heard about yet. So I've been pouring myself into that education side still of reading and listening to podcasts, trying to kind of soak in all I can as a leader.
Mm-hmm.
But don't be afraid to ask questions.
What do you think is the hardest part about leading a team? I know you mentioned that sometimes it's like personality types and managing that. Is there anything else that you didn't expect or were surprised to see when you actually started hiring?
Probably the motivation or the lack thereof. I think once people approach us and want to be hired on, part of it is a compliment. We think to ourselves of, yay, we must be doing something right. They want to come work for us. So they're going to just go full force and be the best employee ever. And maybe the interview process, maybe the onboarding process goes that way. But a month two in, you kind of like, what happened to the person I hired? So that's a lot, I feel like, on leadership as well. Just making sure that your team member is motivated. They're still setting those goals and, you know, helping them succeed and reach those goals. So probably the biggest thing I will say after just learning the personality types is just keeping motivated, because that really is a daily task, I feel like, for myself. And not all of them are horrible at motivation, but we all get those days where we just come to work, maybe show up, we take our clients, we go home, you don't put much extra thought into it. But if you don't have somebody on your side that's kind of reminding you, keeping you motivated, then you can become stagnant in your workplace. And I feel like that's probably a big thing I've seen, and even not just in my own salon, but other lash studios in the area, that people just aren't motivated to get their own clients, maybe do the extra work, which is doesn't have to be a ton of extra work, but just give that client experience to keep the clients on their books. And all of it, I feel like, comes down to just the motivation factor.
Yeah, I think that it's easy to feel like it's Groundhog Day a little bit when you're doing the same thing. Like every 2 weeks you see the same clients, and every day you drive to work, you do your clients, you head home, and it could feel very monotonous if there's not that leader who's like encouraging them or giving them praise or motivating them in some way. And it seems like it's not as important. And then you realize that actually goes a really long way with people. And because you think about it, like even with yourself, like whether it's a book or podcast or something, or going to events or whatever it is that we're motivated by, everyone else needs that too. And it's like, oh, I'm that person that has to do that. And I remember feeling the same way. It's like, oh, I have to be the one to rev everybody up. Yeah, culture-wise, it's like super important. Have you seen, like, over the years, like, with your salon, have you seen like any differences in your culture or anything like that, where you've tried to improve upon the culture in any way or just the systems that you have?
My salon had it 1099. So they weren't employees at first, but I knew eventually I'd want to switch over. So I will say the last year and a half has been a transition growth year for our salon. A lot of systems, the employee handbooks, things like that. And I do feel like those have helped the employees.
Are you using strategies or different?
Okay. But every time I sat in one of those classes, it's a lot of, probably not exactly what they teach, but a lot of it's the same.
Right. So I didn't catch like what you are using, or are you just kind of creating your own like systemized thing, or are you using like a coach or program?
No, Chase and I kind of came up with just knowledge that I've taken a few business mentorship classes. One was actually very similar to what strategies teach, but from that and just personal experience, and he comes from a lot of sales background, and so he understands like commission-based pay. We formulated a new, I say new, the lady I'd spoke with earlier at the hair salon, she actually has a pretty much identical way that she has her pay scale. So it's more of a sliding pay scale based on performance and their productivity. So we start, it's like a 14, 15 kind of point difference. Base pay would still put them like around $9, $10 an hour. But the more they keep clients on the books, the three things we look for is client rebooking, schedule utilization, and client retention. And those we can pull just from our booking software. And based off of those percentages, they can earn more points in their commission, that pay scale or that pay period. Or if they didn't have such a great week, it might go down a point or two. But it really pushes them to work a little bit harder. And I'm not just handing out the money. That was the one thing I didn't want to do, is just, it's a blank, maybe like 40%, 50% commission. And they don't feel like they're motivated to do anything better, because why should they? They're still going to get the same pay. So with the sliding scale, I tell them all the time, like, I don't want you to stay at the bottom percentage. It is low pay for what you're doing. So I'm going to give you all the tools. I'm going to encourage you along the way, but let's get you up to the higher percentage. And then you'll start to see, like, if I have a really good week, if I'm getting clients to rebook, key is keeping those clients and not always looking for new clients, then you should have a steady high commission rate. And they feel a little more successful and proud of themselves because they put in that work to earn that commission rate.
It's a really good piece of advice there, especially for companies that want to do commission versus, well, you're not on commission. You're hourly plus commission.
It's just straight commission. And then they give all their tips and they get retail commission, but it is commission. It's just not your typical, at least in Oklahoma, most people, if you say commission, they're thinking like you only make whatever, 40%, or you only make 50%, and there's no room for growth. So it doesn't matter if you've been there for 3 years, you're still making 40%. With us, it's a sliding scale, and then we have, similar to like a hair salon, like different levels of artists. So once they've reached certain qualifications, they can move up a level. So that means the clients are going to pay more for their service, which in turn means they're getting a higher percentage off that service as well. Mm-hmm. So one of the two factors, I guess, is the sliding commission based off the services. And then they can actually level up to, we have four different levels of like a lash artist, and they can kind of give themselves raises that way as well.
So every time I see you guys on Instagram, I love the vibe. I love the boho feel, like the macrame, the plants and all of that. I can imagine it's also received very well from your community, and it probably feels like a very warm and inviting space. Was it like that from the beginning? And if not, how did that evolve? And I also want to ask a second part to that question. Does it match the culture, like energetically there? Does the vibe, you know what I'm saying? Like, is that part of like your whole brand identity, or is that just how it's decorated?
No, it definitely flows through everything at a workplace, I feel like. When I was opening the studio, I wanted something different than what I'd seen in our area. Most, and not negative toward anybody who likes to decorate the style, but most places were very, very, very sterile. Like, you feel like you're walking into a doctor's office, maybe just not a lot of like relaxed feel, kind of homey feel, if you will. And I wanted something where people could feel like they come in, it's still clean, it's still sanitized, but they don't feel like they're laying at a doctor's office getting a service done. And I kind of translated my own personal style and branding into my business, which is something I tell people going into business, whether they have no direction of which colors or what vibes they should do. I always ask them, like, we'll start with you. Who are you? What are your core values? What colors do you tend to gravitate to? Because if you're owning a small business, your business is an extension of you. And it would make no sense if you knew me if I was dressed in, trying to think, if I had like chrome and diamonds everywhere, maybe hot pink, like that, if I walked in like that, I'd be like, what? That's not you. So my personal style translates into my business. And I feel like that's probably something that's helped my business become very recognizable, is because I don't have to fake it every day when I go to work. Like, my business is me. My team has caught on to that culture as well. When you come in as a client, it doesn't feel uptight or stuffy. It's very relaxed. We have incense that we burn. Our music choice is like indie or chill. So the moment they walk in, all their senses are being hit with a very relaxed, toned down feel. So they can feel like they can actually relax and fall asleep once they lay on the table for their lash or brow appointment. And I get compliments all the time from clients who obviously they love the decor, but they can also see the translation into just the whole client experience that comes with it. And that was huge for me. I never, and you probably could agree, you don't want to go to service where you feel out of place, or can I sit on this, or, you know, what can we do here? And I just wanted people to be able to come in. They feel very relaxed. And I feel like we do hit a lot of the main senses. Like I said, smell, everything's very neutral. We use a lot of like neutral, like woods, earthy tones. Like I say, macrame plants, we have plenty of plants. My clients laugh. They always ask when the plant will have a little baby, because they want to take one home with them and have an extension of boho lash at their house. And I don't know. I love it. And again, I just feel like it's an extension of myself into my business. Did I answer your last question about culture?
Yeah, because I was wondering if it matched the vibe of what it felt like to be in there. And you did answer that. Do you feel like you guys attract people who are also into like the boho feel?
We do. I also feel like it attracts our ideal client who's more laid back. So maybe they're like attire, their own style is not full on boho, but they are like, my ideal client's going to be a woman in her 35 plus years, somebody who's very low maintenance. They just kind of want to wake up and go. And maybe they're probably not doing a full face of makeup. They're not, you know, dressing themselves head to toe. They want to be very relaxed in life. So when they come here, that kind of matches what their lifestyle may be, whether it's an actual boho or not. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that does help attract our client. If I had a client that was going to events all the time, maybe a younger 20-year-old that's, you know, out partying all the time, I don't feel like those clients probably stay as long. Just there could be some psychological thing behind it. But I do feel like you're going to attract, as a business, like your ideal clients. And if the space represents that, then it invites those type of clients in even more.
What advice do you have for people who are just starting out and want to own a salon one day?
Well, owning a salon, I would say, and I speak at a lot of beauty schools here in town, and the biggest thing I tell them is, if you're going to, even if it's booth rent, we can think of that as a smaller scale, but they're still owning a business. But if you want to go open your own salon, treat it like a business. It might seem, for those of us who have a salon, we might think, okay, yes, it's a business. But I don't know how many times I've seen girls get very excited about graduating. They want to go open their own salon with a team of people, or just do booth rents, but they don't have the systems, and they don't have to be big systems, but they don't have the backside of the business in place to make it succeed. And again, I just want everybody to succeed in life. So if they're going to treat it like a hobby, I kind of know off the bat that they're going to either struggle a lot more at the beginning, or they're going to just create harder circumstances for themselves, whether it's not saving money for taxes, which we hear that all the time. Girls who are 1099, they just haven't saved all year. And then here comes tax season and they don't have the funds to pay. So just treat the business as a business. And I feel like in our industry, sometimes that feels weird, maybe, because we are such a creative, artistic group of people that we just want to have fun. And, you know, we want to do lashes all day and just chat right with our clients. But at the end of the day, if you're owning a business, it's not going to succeed if you're not treating it like a business.
Totally.
If you're not doing those business mentorship classes, if you're not going to conferences, or at minimum, just read business books on how to be a better leader and how to actually run a business successfully.
You mentioned earlier about like people just not knowing when tax time comes, like they're like unprepared. So right, if you think about this and you go into it with what you're saying and you're like, okay, I'm not going to have people pay over Venmo and Cash App and all that stuff to avoid paying taxes. I'm going to run it through whatever credit card processing stuff that I have a business bank account. The other actions are going to start following. with the credit card processor, you're going to make sure you have a cute booking site. And usually those can be linked. And then with that, it's like you want to make sure your website is nice. And then you have professional photos and you just start to evolve even just from the very beginning of like when you're first starting to take clients right out of school. So I like what you're saying, because even if you just start on a small scale to just say, I know that I at least want to do this, the other things just start evolving from there. And eventually you look back and you're like, whoa, like I have a nice website, a great way of, you know, a cohesive way of booking. I have a brand vibe and color palette and all of those things. Those just start kind of coming together after that first, you know, initial step. So I like that you said that.
I think it's important how you talked about doing like those baby steps at the beginning. You don't have to graduate beauty school and have your list of 50 things you got to do to open the doors, but start with something, start with a business bank account at least. And like you said, they'll start to kind of snowball, and a year, 2 years in, you'll look back and you'll see that you've done a lot of the things to make it a true, legit business without having to do it just like all at once. Part of it might be the scary, like unknown of I have to like create a whole website. You have to pay somebody, you know, $2,000 for that. I have to make whatever aftercare cards, like all the business cards, whatever. If you look at it as everything all at once, I can see how it's very overwhelming. But start with something little. Maybe every month you add something to your business. Prime example, I had a girl when I first opened my salon who was 1099, and she came to Chase and I and asked us for some business advice on how to get herself set up so that if she were to leave here in the future and open her own place, she could be set up and well prepared and not have to just do it all at once. And we gave her simple advice, like quit using your personal bank account, get a business bank account, get your booking software, quit just texting people, booking times, you know, just simple things that will help get you started now. And I'm so proud of her. She's been out of our salon for a year and a half, and she's recently just opened her own place where she has a couple girls that are renting from her. And she has a very recognizable brand as well. Similar to mine, hers is on the more fun, kind of whimsical side, but she started early creating that brand. And it wasn't just with the logo, it was everything she did. You can recognize who she is in our community, and she's known perfectly for her brows and lash lifts that she does. And I mean, I tell her all the time, I'm so proud of you, because you took it serious at the beginning. So by the time you wanted to open your space, it wasn't a complete shock and all this extra work you had to do, because you already had a lot of those systems set up by the time you got to that point.
That is so cool. And I love how like highly you speak of her and stuff, and how you guys helped her on her journey.
Her name's Lindsay too. So
cute. Okay, two more questions. First is a question that I haven't asked people in a really long time, but I used to ask every single person this. So what is your favorite failure? So this doesn't have to, you don't have to necessarily think that like something you failed at it, but you could have. It could be a blessing in disguise. It could be something that you're glad happened because it put you somewhere else. But do you have something, sometime in your life that comes to mind when I say that?
Honestly, when I switched to having employees, I do wish I would have prepared a bit more. And I probably lost a few girls at the beginning just because I didn't have everything set up like I should have as a boss. So I feel like it was a learning curve for me, for even just like our onboarding program. I used to make it like a month long, and I could see now that nobody wants to work for very minimum pay for a month, just trying, not even taking clients. It'd be working on models, doing like theory, all this practice, and then translating to like employee handbooks, like what is expected of you? They probably didn't know. And that was my fault because I didn't have it laid out clearly. I was needing just to switch it over to a commission setup that I was just kind of like, okay, here we go. We're going to do it. This is going to be great. And not everybody thinks it's great when you do a huge change like that. So looking back, and my advice to somebody maybe thinking about switching over to something like that is to do a little more planning and a little more communication with your team. And just know not everybody's going to follow and switch over with you. That's totally fine. But the more information you can give them upfront, the more, you know, actual black and white, here's what's going to happen. It's going to set everybody up for success instead of looking back and saying, yep, I could see that was totally my fault. I didn't communicate as well during that time.
I can very much relate. And many people, you have no idea before you become a salon owner, like how much different it will be than you expected. But you learn and... Yeah, you're better for it. Same here. Okay. Last question is just, what's on the horizon for you and for Boho Lash?
For the salon, we're still taking clients, kind of doing things as normal. Also, we have some big advertising goals this coming year, just doing more with our community. For myself, I personally only take clients a couple days a week. I currently teach classes doing and speak in beauty schools, doing lash lift, brow, and lash extension classes and courses. But this past year has really shown me that, according to everybody I meet, I must have a gift on branding and setting up all of these systems on the backside of the business that most people don't want to think about. So I put a lot of thought into it and decided that this year I'm just going to take the leap. As everybody says, you can't know if it's going to work unless you start. And so I'm putting a lot of effort into doing more business mentorship classes and doing some like digital products. So digital handbooks, intake forms. We actually have a business manual that Chase and I have created, so that will be available online as well. So a lot of the, in our industry, people, the stuff that nobody wants to think about, but we still need, and, you know, I'm here to make it cute. You know, send me your brand palette if you don't have one, or your brand board. I can create one for the beauty professional and kind of get them started with that. That way they can use it in all their aspect of advertising, but then start getting them really brand specific handbooks and all the forms again, like I just said. But I'm excited about that. I have a lot of fun with it and I still love my clients. So I'm not going anywhere with my clients quite yet, but I'm excited to work even more with the lash artist or just beauty professional in general. I have a hair salon that I'm working with right now, creating their employee handbook. So a lot of it's going to be the same across the board in the beauty industry. And I'm really excited about it because it comes easy to me to see the branding and putting the fun stuff together.
Yeah. It's so cool. And it's very just aligned with you. And yeah, best of luck to that because that's very up your alley.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us today. I'm sure it's not the last time you will be on Lash Boss Radio, but thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me.
Of course. Thank you all so much for listening today, and I'll be back next week, next Tuesday, with the next episode.